Between the Covers, a series designed around who and what can be done and achieved by patients, planning and working in a community of like-minded, successful people. This podcast series is for anyone looking at becoming a successful published author and those looking to understand the mind of a writer and the goals of a publisher. Proudly sponsored by Shoreline Publishing. Welcome and enjoy.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me. My name is Bradley Shaw, and today on Between the Covers, I'm talking to author Jim McIntyre, whose book Nikolai the Perfect follows his character Vasily from the cold Moscow winter to a teaching job in Melbourne and the unearthing of a long-hidden family secret. And in this, and it's been noted as a skillfully constructed narrative exploring in the landscape of both foreign and familiar cities with beautifully dense and descriptive crowds. The author delivers a richly layered novel about loss, discovery, family, and moving forward. If you could welcome Ian McIntyre, please. Hello, Ian. How are you?
Hi, Bradley. Hi, everyone.
It's good to have you here. And it's great to have you here, and I'd love to talk about this book, Nikolai the Perfect. Now, this was nominated back in 2015 for the Unpublished Manuscript Awards for the Victorian Premier's Literary Award. Interestingly, so was Jane Harper's The Dry, who was nominated with your book, which is a very good accomplishment for you know, all the nominees, I'm sure. Tell us about that experience and, of course, getting the book, I guess, out there to start with and, of course, having this acknowledgement before it was even published.
So starting with the award itself, the book took me the best part of 30 years to write.
Wow.
In 2015, I thought I had done the rounds of the publishers and then some, and I thought, okay, this is my last chance. This is my last chance saloon here. If it doesn't do any good in the Victorian Premier's 2015 award, then that's it. I can walk away knowing I've done absolutely everything I can. So I entered it, and much to my astonishment, was shortlisted. And myself, Jane Harper, and Michelle Wright, with a very accomplished collection of short stories. So the three of us were notified, and then I had, I think, the best week of my life. just the anticipation was exhilarating, and the sense that, okay, finally, you know, I've arrived. So I thought,
good.
we'll get to that. We had the ceremony, and Jane was confirmed as the winner. Michelle and I were equal runners up. I think we know how Jane's career has taken off since. That's an extraordinary story. With the shortlisting came a flurry of interested publishers and two well-known agents, all asking me to send them my work.
And very good.
Yes. And, you know, to that point, it was like, you know, if I'd run across the MCG naked on Friday night, you know, I couldn't get arrested. No, I did not. And all of a sudden, so it was very, it was quite head spinning. One by one, the doors that flung open closed, and I didn't get a direct answer. But after a while, I worked out they just didn't feel that being, in inverted commas, literary fiction, my work was to, it just wouldn't sell enough. It just wasn't commercial.
And the other challenge is being a new author at the time. Even though you had been doing it for 30 years, you dedicated it to it, you'd made all the efforts, as you say, gaining recognition as an unknown does take its time and does take its toll
sure
and effort. And, of course, your first-hand experience where you've had that amazing opportunity of getting recognition and then, of course, creating interest. And, it's a disappointment that you didn't gain the follow-through. Yes. But you did obviously eventually get it published, so that process obviously came to fruition.
Yes. So fast forward a few years, a writer friend recommended me to Jen Hutchinson, who had, Jen was a very successful business person. She'd long dreamed of starting up her own publishing house. So I sent her my work. She read it. She asked if I was up for major changes. I said, yep, you know, what's to lose here? Can't be precious. We signed a contract, and finally we were ready to put it out in 2020, and we know what happened.
Yes.
In 2020.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a roller coaster is not the word.
Yeah, and of course the hiatus of that COVID period would have been an impact to the release.
It's been disappointing
to build all that effort up.
Jen had had put together really quite an extensive program of promotions, and almost all of it had to be cancelled.
Yeah, and that was for a lot of authors and a lot of business in any sense during that period. It was very frustrating.
Yes.
But the book survived and sustained. It's out there. It's got its legacy. And for everybody listening, I'll just quickly mention it is available through all your major resellers and portals online. Could still be ordered through bookstores and libraries if you wish to ask them in your local area. It's always great to support local new authors, and Jim's done a great job and paid his dues. So I think if we can support him, that'd be awesome. So tell us, Jim, so it took you 30 years to write the book.
Mm-hmm.
What was the, if you can recall, the incubus for this story, and then, of course, making such a passionate commitment to the support of this? And a lot of writers will always write books and they'll write varied stories, test their own talent, and then, of course, they have to pick and pursue the ones that work for publishing. But yet you made this one a very clear focus to bringing it to light through all the hurdles, and I'm sure through all the things. What was it about this story originally, and what was the motivation to keep that story?
Well, the book started off as a class exercise in the RMIT Advanced Diploma of Creative Writing, which I was enrolled in way back in the early 90s. So I went away, did this short story, and submitted it to a couple of competitions, and just local competitions, and won one and was commended in another. And one of the judges' comments was that it read like the excerpt of a much larger work. So I thought, aha, I think I might be onto something here. And that was the start of it.
Yeah.
I progressively became more serious and dedicated over the next, 20-odd years. Just when I was at the point of thinking, oh, this is an indulgence, something would come along, like a mm-hmm. like a grant or an offer for a studio at Abbotsford Convent in Melbourne, the arts precinct. I kept at it, got some encouraging feedback from publishers, mm-hmm. even though they weren't prepared to take it on. And
Wow. And the actual writing of it from a short story to a novel, what was your duration and time and process in that? Was it hard to extend, as you say, to grow that story, those characters, those, then evolve it into that book, a full book?
It was hard, but it just took its own sort of organic evolution, if that
makes
sense. I guess I just let the process carry me along, and the more serious I got, mm-hmm. the more it fed on itself, it just became something that I was more and more dedicated towards, I was determined to make it the best book it could possibly be.
Absolutely. And that's the sign of a good story. When you know you've got the right story, it's easy to write. You can sort of visualize it and you know it because it's a book you enjoy writing. That's a good thing for book to enjoy reading. And it's been noted. I mean, that nomination for the Unpublished Manuscript Victorian Premier's Awards is very significant. And as being part of the industry myself, it's disappointing you didn't get that follow through from that achievement, because there are very few, and it's a pristine list that gets, you know, considered into those awards. So, of course, yes, I would have loved to have seen a catapult to a much greater standard for yourself. Having said that, going through then that publication process and getting it out in 2020, how has it been since COVID as well? How has it been for the feedback and the response and the support that you did get for the book during its now published time?
Okay, so starting from 2020, it was you know, it was a very sort of staggered stop-start process, of course, but it was officially released in September 2020. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough to at least have my dream launch, which every author, you know, wants their dream launch online, finally, definitely, in February 2021. Big consolation out of COVID was the Age do an annual survey of well-known Australian authors, asking them to select their favourite reads. And my book was twice nominated. So that was, you know, that was
very satisfying.
Awesome. Yeah. It was.
So
Jen, my publisher, and I, you know, we soldiered on, what we were allowed to do.
Yeah.
which wasn't much, as we know. I got some, you know, really nice feedback and support from you know, writer friends and others. So, you know, that trickled in. Yes. So as we were chatting before the podcast started, how I ended up doing today, amongst other things, was in 2022. Jen died suddenly, which was, you know, she got a diagnosis of advanced cancer, and this was almost a year to the day, and in a month she was gone, which was a dreadful shock, as you could imagine.
Everyone.
Soon after, a few weeks after she died, I got a letter from her executive advising me that there were 400 odd copies of my book in her warehouse, and she left instructions that they be offered for repurchase, which I did. By that stage, I'd had an arrangement with the Terang Commercial Hotel, whose owner is Les Cameron. Les is a wonderful supporter of artists and writers, so he very kindly let me come and do my writing. And after when he found out about the situation with the books, he was generous enough to help me set up a one-man, one-book pop-up bookshop.
Yeah, good.
In Terang, which is a whole another story we could talk about. So, the roller coaster goes on.
Yeah. And during this time, like, you've done this, you know, you've come up against unfortunate situations. You've come up with, you know, commitment and passion and dedication for the book. During this time, though, still, is there other extended works? Is there things happening for you now that are newer and fresher that bring you into, you know, now that opportunities are starting to open, this book has, you know, been released, you're a published author. What are your next steps for you?
I'm glad to say that I am well into the next work. I'm not sure what it will finally be, but it's looking like a suite of three novellas. And, you know, that is... The reason I'm, you know, up and going again after being really close to the point of, you know, despairing through the pandemic was thanks to Les in Terang, you know, offering me that space, and then the bookshop. So I'm up and going again, which is wonderful. Good. Well into the next stage.
Good. No, that's awesome. And you're a gentleman who definitely deserves it. For most writers, it is about getting that first book and first step and learning the craft and honing the skill and keeping that commitment to the marketing and getting it out there. And of course, as you've had the successes, you've had the frustrations and the disappointments, but I believe you should now have set a foundation that you should be able to build on. And I think your next books and other books, and even this book still growing in the market, has all the potential for you. So congratulations on that, and stick with it. It's very admirable. A lot of authors will give up, believe me, not even half of what you've done and been through. For everybody listening, do support Jim. The book is called Nikolai the Perfect. It's available, as I said earlier, where everywhere books are sold online. And as I said, you can order it through bookshops and libraries if they're willing to order it in for them. Do ask and do support. There is links on this podcast as well for you to purchase the book. And we thank Jim for his time and his story to sharing today. So I thank you, Jim, for sharing with us.
Thank you very much, Bradley. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And I'm hoping that I've piqued your interest in the book, and having heard the story behind the book, and again, thank you to Bradley for this opportunity to talk about Nikolai the Perfect and my journey.
You're most welcome, and yes, well, we wish you all the success. For everybody listening, thank you again. Do stay well, do stay healthy, be kind to each other, and we will see you next time on Between the Covers, and keep listening and supporting great Australian authors. Thank you for everyone. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Covers, produced by Shoreline Publishing.